One in the Bay Shore Presbyterian Church, Charlie Riggs speaking.
I have a friend who wants a recording of this lesson, so I'm going to have a tape recorder on here. When you came in tonight, in addition to receiving a brown book, there was a little booklet, My Heart, Christ, Home. You may have dropped it, I hope not. But this was written by a Presbyterian minister, Dr. Bob Munger. I'm sure that Pastor Orner will know the name. Wonderful man of God. I believe he's in the chair of evangelism now at Fuller, isn't he? He went from the Bay Area to Washington, and now he's in Fuller Seminary. My Heart, Christ, Home. Read it as you go to bed tonight. Just a few pages on lordship. It'll prepare you for your lesson next week. And then, I want you to turn in the brown book, if you will, to pages 8 and 9, and you'll find two blank pages. Pages 8 and 9. And all I want you to do on pages 8 and 9 is trace your hand. Just place your hand on the page. One hand on page 9 and one on page 8, and trace it. So you'll come up with two hands. Never mind worrying about the fingernail. Just give us the hands and the thumb there, and we're going to give you a lesson on grasping the Word of God and then grasping God's hand and walking with Him day by day. Grasping the Word of God and grasping God's hand and walking day by day in the world, living an effective Christian life. And I hope everyone will do that. Don't sit there, husband, and let your wife do all the notes. Often I see the husband just sitting there making sure his wife gets everything, you know? I'll bet you don't sit at the table and watch your wife eat, do you? I'll bet you pick up the knife and fork and dig into it. You bet. Well, let's dig into the Word. And everyone take notes here tonight. Be a part of the lesson. Now, I've conducted a number of surveys in the teaching classes and asked this question several times. What is the greatest hindrance to witnessing? And you know, what comes up most of the time is what to say or don't know what to say. And so this first lesson here, the first hand, we're going to stress what to say, or give you at least something that will help you know what to say as you witness day by day. What to say. The other problem is I'm too timid, and we'll answer that with the second hand. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time with this first hand, but just watch as I run through the illustration very quickly, and the main reason for stressing this first hand here is to drive home the importance of doing your homework. If you just sit and listen, you'll forget 90% of what I tell you. And really, though I want you to come back on Thursday night, it's not going to do you a lot of good just to come and sit and listen. You've got to do more than that. And I'm sure if we have teachers here, they would agree with me. I see a few shaking your head. But this is the illustration. You hear it and forget most of it. Very little grasp. You read it and you get a little bit more. You study it and you're getting a little bit more. You memorize it and you're getting a little more. And then when you meditate, think deeply about what you hear, read, study, and memorize, all to the end that you might begin to get the picture, focus in clearly what God is saying, then you begin to get a grasp of the Bible. If you're foggy in your thinking, you're going to be foggy in your acting. If you're foggy in your thinking, you'll be foggy in your expression. You need to really know where you're going and what God is saying to you day by day so you can share this with someone else. And so, we'll start then with a little finger by writing in the word here. Here. You hear the Word of God. One way of knowing it. And out on the end, put down 10%. They say you forget 90% of what you hear. 90%. Now that may be true, may not be true altogether. Sometimes you hear a little ditty and you just can't forget it, can you? Just keeps going over. And some of the oddest times it comes out. You ever notice that? Maybe you sing something that's absolutely foolish. It'll come out of you. My wife and I just laugh at this all the time. But you forget 90% of what you hear. And so, we need to do more than just listen if we want to grasp the Bible and know how to use it. The ring finger represents reading the Word of God. Reading. Now, I don't know what your habit is in Bible reading, but I hope and pray that all of you had some time in the book today. Maybe some of you haven't yet to do, to get into the book, to feed the inner man, Jesus Christ, the new man. The Apostle Paul says to put on Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereon. Feed the new man, feed the Savior, feed the new man, Jesus, living within. And if you don't have a Bible reading habit, I'd like to suggest that you start with John, and I would suggest even John chapter 14. You don't have a habit. Start with John 14 either tonight or early tomorrow morning and start reading the Bible, a chapter a day until Jesus comes. I'm sure many of you know John 14. What a wonderful chapter. Say it with me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Right on through the book. Read John 14 in the sixth verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Verses 11, 12, 13, and 14. He says that greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. If he shall ask what? Anything in my name, I will do it. John 14, 16, he says, I'm going to send you another comforter. In John 14, 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have spoken unto you. What a privilege to have God the Holy Spirit teaching us the book day by day, revealing Jesus to us, opening up the Word to us, and then bringing to our remembrance the thing that he has taught us day by day, helping us to live the life that honors God, and helping us to be able to speak for Jesus when he opens up opportunities for us. And so, let's get into the good book day by day and read a little bit and pray a little bit, and then start into the day. Every day, a little bit of the Word of God for the new man. Getting a little more when you read it. Don't have much just hearing it. A little more when you read it. And then the middle finger of study. Study. And every week we're going to give you a Bible study or every lesson. And you'll notice that right away quick tonight we've given you a brown book. And if you will, flip back to page 4. Back to page 4. We have a lesson, the good news to share with others. This lesson here has something to say about the good news, about the work of the Holy Spirit, about the sovereignty of God. And we're going to do a question right now, and then I'd just like to challenge you to finish this lesson before Friday night. Now, I'd like to invite you to read the introduction, how to get the most out of the course, first page, and then on page 3, in a synopsis of the effective Christian life. And then over here, beginning of the lesson, and look at question 2, if you will. List the important truths concerning salvation which are found where? In Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Now, if you'll open to the back of your book, you have 6 scripture verses, and verse number 4 is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. So I'll give you a minute to quickly list the 4 truths in that one, those 2 verses concerning salvation. Do it quickly, if you will. Now, don't all shout at once. Just quietly let me have a hand. What's the first thing we learn in this passage about salvation? Yes, sir. Saved by grace. Saving grace. And, of course, everyone knows that grace means what? Huh? Something we don't deserve, unmerited favor. That's wonderful. God's grace and salvation. It's also his grace and service, the way he uses us day by day. We don't deserve that either. And so we're saved by grace. What's the next thing? Let me see a hand. Yes? By faith. Now, that's something that we exercise. Dr. Graham is always asking people to exercise their faith. Receive Christ. Open your heart and receive Him. And so we're saved by grace through faith. And what's the third thing? Let me see a hand. Yes, ma'am. It's the gift of God. Now, how do you get a gift? The only thing you do is accept it and receive it, isn't it? It's the gift of God. And what's the last thing? Not of works, lest any man should boast. I was coming up on the airplane yesterday and sharing with a man a little plan to receive Christ, and he was one of these of another faith, really, and he just couldn't get over the fact that it was just that simple of opening the heart and receive Jesus Christ. He's been taught for years and years that you have to work toward it. Your good works help you. And I just went over this verse and over this verse and over this verse with him. But he's just been taught, and it's really hard for him to accept this fact that it's salvation by grace through faith. That's it. Well, friends, that's one question in this lesson of nine, and there's also a project if you'd like to read it and get into it. And I pray that maybe you'll answer a question or two before you go to bed tonight. And then start your day tomorrow morning a little earlier and do a question or two. And finish the lesson by Friday night. And I'll guarantee you something, friends, that if you work at this and really dig a little bit, you'll find some nuggets that really will bless your life. Someone has said, or the psalmist really, didn't say the Bible's a gold mine, but he said, I rejoice that thy word is one that findeth great spoil. The Bible is a gold mine, but the gold, as in the hills, has to be mined. You have to dig for it. You know, the shaft at Philippi, or the mine at Philippi, has four shafts, and you can go into shaft number one and get blessed, you can go into shaft number two and get blessed, shaft number three and shaft number four, come out of the mine at Philippi with great blessing. And that's the way we ought to read the Bible. Go in and discover some of it and mine some of it and ask God to give us these nuggets day by day. And so, do your lesson. And don't wait till next Friday about 4 o'clock and say, oh, I've got to finish my lesson. I've come to class and I've had people sitting here just copying answers out of the book. That won't do you any good, no more than this is doing me good in exercise. Will that help me very much, son? Now, I did some exercises today. I like to keep a little muscle tone, and it's a little hard work, I'll tell you. And so, I'll never get it this way. And I like to challenge you to sit down and go a little beneath the surface this time in digging out these truths, will you? Shake your head, huh? Good. I got a commitment out of you. Okay. All right. You hear it, then you forget most of it. You read it, and if you read with real interest, heart open, you get a little more. You study it, you're getting a little bit more. And we come to the index finger of memory. Memory. John 3:16. How many of you know John 3:16? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the verse I went over and over and over again with this fellow on the airplane, and at least he took that away with him. Out on the end of the finger, 100%. You know John 3:16 perfectly. You can use it over and over again. Friends, you can know scores of verses just like that by going over them and over them and over them. I've just come up from Dallas at Expo, and what a wonderful time we had down there. I didn't hear Dr. Brandt, the psychologist. I was having sessions myself with other students. But I understand that he was giving some wonderful lessons, and one was on the Word of God. And he makes this statement, that every problem any man has ever had can be met in Scripture. And he said, as we counsel, use the Bible. You identify their need through asking questions. And then it says, find the answer in the book and hold it up in front of him like a mirror. You know, the Bible is a mirror. When I look into it, I see myself, if my heart is open, I see myself as God sees me, and I see myself as my wife sees me, as my children see me. But too often my pride doesn't like what I see, and so I just take a quick book look and close the book, and like James says, he straightway goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so let's treat the book as a mirror. And as we open it day by day, say, God, show me myself today. And I'll tell you, he begins to show you how wicked this tongue is. How many of you don't have any trouble with your tongue at all? I'd like to know your secret. Never any trouble. He begins to show the pride, the selfishness, all the things in our life that need a little bit of changing. And as we open our heart to him, God begins to change us day by day by day. And so, scripture memory in the book. Back in the back of the book, I'd like you to turn again and you'll find six verses. Man is sinful. Sin has a penalty. Christ paid the penalty. Salvation, a free gift. Christ at the heart's door. We must receive him. Now, this is the way we're going to learn these verses. We're going to learn the topic, give a little handle to it, the reference, and the verse. And so we'll say it this way. Man is sinful. Romans 3.23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3.23. Now, take a deep breath. Everyone with me now. Man is sinful. Romans 3.23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3.23. That's why man needs a Savior, right? All have sinned. We wouldn't need a Savior if we weren't sinners. Now, the next topic is what? Sin has a penalty. Romans 6.23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6.23. Okay, now we'll memorize those two verses for by Thursday night. Then we'll get the rest of them. Christ paid the penalty. That's good news. Salvation is a free gift. That's more good news. Christ is at the heart's door knocking. That's more good news. We must receive him. And the moment that I receive Jesus into my life, I become God's son by faith. A child of God. My sins are forgiven. My name is written in heaven. Written in the book of life for time and eternity. Right? So, those two verses for next week, and I'll guarantee you something, friends. I know a lot of you are going to say, I just can't memorize. I'm too old. Memory was never easy for me. Well, I'll bet you know all the baseball averages. You can tell me who the best batters are in American and the National. Just can't memorize. Huh? You memorize a lot of things, telephone numbers and a lot of other things. What about getting into the Word and letting God bless us? You know, I'm going to suggest you do something just for a little fun and a little witness. When I went in the service, my brother gave me a daily guide, a verse a day, thought a day, and a prayer a day. And I had wasted about 8 years of my life, and I was ready to just turn everything over to the Lord. And for some reason or other, the Word just was like food, and I started to memorize this verse a day. Had a little booklet. And it wasn't long before I was a private first class, and then I jumped over corporal to sergeant, and I had a whole barracks full of fellas that I bossed around. And every once in a while, I'd single one of them out, and I'd give them this little book, and I'd say, how about reviewing me on some of my verses? I want to see how well I'm doing. And I remember one day I had a big fellow by the name of Thayer from Binghamton, New York, and he was holding the book, and I'd gone over a few, and I came to Mark 8:36. It says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain? I fumbled, and he filled it in for me. Gain. I said, thank you. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? And I fumbled again. What's the next word? Lose. And he said he filled it. Lose. Thank you. All right, let me try. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So help me, this is what Bill said. Sarge, what does that mean? I said, Bill, sit down and I'll tell you. Now, he asked for it, didn't he? I've had opportunities open to me just by telling people that I'm with Billy Graham. What do you do? Well, I teach personal work classes. What do you mean by that? Well, if you got a few minutes, I'll explain it to you. You can tell someone you're taking Christian witness classes that may die right there, but they may say, what do you mean? Well, just let me show you something that I'm doing. And they've asked you, didn't they? Well, you might just give them these verses and say, I'm working on a couple of verses here, and see how well I do. You can fumble over Romans 3:23 and fumble with 6:23 and just have an awful time getting it. And they'll like to help you with it. Huh? I had a lady who had her husband was a Catholic, and she came back the next week and she said, I went home and I got out our Douay version of the Bible, and I said to my husband, I want to see Frank or John if these verses are like our version. And they compared them. I had a young nurse that said that she took, this was in New Jersey, took her lesson into Manhattan. She worked for a lawyer. She had 2 and 3 people helping her do her lesson. Another young nurse said they got snowed in at the hospital and one night, and she had 5 and 6 people helping her with her lessons. A young construction worker told me, he said, I did exactly what you said, and I started letting men review my verse. He said, I've been witnessing for Jesus all week with these men, these hardheads on this job. And so let's try little things that will open doors, and if God doesn't open them, don't put your foot in. Just cool it, let it go. But if you find a little bit of interest, and go in, move in. So, we hear it, we read it, we study it, and we memorize it, and then finally we meditate. And so, put in the thumb, if you will, on the floor. Thank you. Meditation. Thumb of meditation. Now I'm going to give you a verse here. Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, 2, and 3. We could give you a verse for every one of these things, but Psalm 1, 2, and 3 says, His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. Go right back to why? Because his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now that doesn't mean that I carry the Bible around with me all day long like this. People would say, you're crazy. You typist secretaries have to do a job. Truck drivers have to drive your truck. Whatever we're doing in life, we have to do well with all of our heart. But it does mean we're giving the Bible rightful place in our life day by day. Not above Jesus. We're not Bible worshipers, but we're obedient to the Word because we love Jesus. And we want to show our love by keeping His commandments. You'll find that in John 14, too, as you read. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will reveal myself unto him. And so we're not memorizing Scripture and meditating day and night to worship the Bible, but to obey the Lord Jesus, the Lord of our life. Is that right? That's why we're doing it. Okay, it's break time, and in the back of your little booklet here, you'll find attendance slips, and I want you to fill out number 1, if you will, quickly. And don't forget to put at the top of it, making up, if this is what you're doing. I've got to get this tape for my friend here, and I don't want to forget to give him the lesson. But this other hand has to do with really grasping God by the hand, and as I mentioned, it answers the question of being too timid. The first hand helps us in knowing what to say. When we really know His Word, we have what to say, and when we grasp God by the hand and trust as we unfold this lesson, you will find where you get power to say it. And this guide that my brother gave me had a verse in it that I memorized, and the verse goes this way. Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy truth. Lead me in thy truths and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. You know, I got in the habit of starting the day with the Lord, and as I did, as I started into the day, I got in the habit of, figuratively speaking, putting my hand in God's hand and walking with Him. And what a thrill it was. Here I was, a young man from the oil fields of Pennsylvania, yanked away from my home, right across the country to California with a brand new experience. And learning to walk day by day, the navigators challenged me to scripture memory and morning devotions, and so I started to meet the Lord day by day. And then as I met Him, I would put my hand in His hand and start walking with Him day after day after day. And so, this illustration has to do with grasping God's hand. And we're going to start with the thumb this time. And here's a good Presbyterian word. I want you to put in sovereignty. If you can't spell it, just put a S-O-V. I think it's S-O-V-E-R-I-G-N-T-Y. Sovereignty. And a good verse, 1 Chronicles 29, 12. 1 Chronicles 29, 12. The hand of the Lord. You'll find as you read the scripture, especially the Old Testament and some in the New, you'll find the word hand appears often. Even in the New Testament, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great many believed and turned unto the Lord. I remember a verse that I was trying to drill home to my mother when she had an awful hard time when I was taken into the service. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee, I will strengthen thee, I will uphold thee with the right, what? Hand of my righteousness. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and that thine hand might be with me. And I believe what that means, the sovereign hand of God, simply means God is interested in our marriage, in our schoolwork, in our work, in our family life, our social life. God is interested in everything that we do. And oh, how He wants to be present at our side, taking over and helping our marriage and helping our schoolwork and helping whatever we do. That's all that it means. This wonderful verse in Chronicles, this is what it says. David was building a temple for God, and he had the people bring money, and they brought silver, gold, and precious stones in abundance, and David was overwhelmed, and he said, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. God reigns over all, and in His hand is power and might. And in God's hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, I don't know about you, but friends, I've been thrilled with a passage that I've been meditating on a lot in Ephesians, third chapter. Paul says that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I don't know about you, but I want to be filled with God day by day, don't you? And I'm learning the way to be filled is to empty myself of self, and that's hard. But you can do it in little ways day by day. Just think of little ways you can put off the old man and substitute something that will build your life. Just take little steps at a time. Every walk has that first step, to be filled with all the fullness of God. Emptying ourselves, a little bit of self, and bringing God into our life every day through prayer, through the Word, and through worship and service. Gradually we walk with God in a wonderful and meaningful way. God's hand is power and might, and in His hand it is to make great. God wants to make you a great housewife, a great teacher, a great truck driver, a great doctor, a great lawyer, whatever you are, God wants to make you great at it to His honor and glory. And He will, if you'll allow Him to, day by day. So we start with God's sovereignty. And then I want to give you a good verse to encourage you. Jeremiah 1, 5 through 8. Jeremiah 1, 5 through 8. This is a passage that I have used and I've gone over it and over and over again for years. You may have a hard time to believe this, but when I was in the oil field 7 years, I was like a sheep herder back in the hills. Now, if I did not exercise my arm for 6 months, atrophy would set in, and it wouldn't be long before I would lose the use of this arm. I'd have to exercise it to get it back into use again. This tongue is a muscle. Sometimes it wags too much, huh? But I didn't use it hardly at all. I read very little in 7 years. And I'll tell you something, I got terribly rusty. And after a while, I got so that I hesitated many times and I couldn't say what I wanted to say. The word wasn't there. Sometimes I ended a sentence right in the middle. It just wasn't there. And even today, many times I have a hard time expressing myself under certain circumstances. You should have heard me years ago. I just had a terrible time. But God put me on my feet and He started moving me out. And I got a hold of this verse. This is what it says. You know, Jeremiah said to God, God said, I want you to do a mission. He said, I can't, I'm too young. God said, say not I'm too young, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that shalt thou speak. Now this is what I like. And be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Don't be afraid of their faces. You know how often you get shivery in front of people? Huh? Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Oh, what a thrill. I had this awful time expressing myself, so I started putting God's word in my heart. And the preparation of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. I figured, well, it would be easier for the Lord to put his word in my mouth if I had it in my heart. And so I memorized scripture after scripture. And what a thrill it is to have the Holy Spirit bring the right verse at the right time to be used in the right situation. Then the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. I'll tell you something. Through the years, I've had a very difficult time. You know the expression, I laid an egg? You ever use that? You know what it means? I really flopped. I missed it. Well, I've laid so many eggs I could go in the poultry business. But I haven't quit. And when I came out here tonight, again, I just committed myself into God's hand. This is his lesson. It's his word. It's up to him to bless it. I pray and I prepare my heart, and then I ask God to use it. And once in a while, he smacks me down good, the old pride in my heart, so I'll know where my strength is. It's in God. But we start with a thumb. God's sovereign power, his desire to use us no matter who we are, his desire to make our life really count. Then we're going to skip over to the little finger, and I want you to write the word life. In the little finger, life. Matthew 5:16. Philippians 2:13. Life. God working this mighty power, manifesting his grace and power through our life. By the way, try shaking hands without using your thumb. Go ahead. Shake hands without using your thumb. Come on. Huh? Doesn't work very good, does it, huh? Boy, you need that old thumb over there clasping in that handshake. In fact, you'll find you need every one of these fingers to get a good strong hand clasp. You can't very well shake hands without the fingers either. And the stronger the hand clasp, the more you need your fingers. But God manifests his grace and power through our life day by day. And our life really is our witness. You've heard the expression, haven't you? I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. What you are speaks so loudly that I can't hear what you say. Isn't that right? 2 Corinthians tells us that we're epistles written not with ink, written by the Spirit of God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart, and we're known and we're read of all men. How do we read for Jesus day by day? How do we read? Are we allowing God's great grace and power day by day to fill our life and use it? Matthew 5:16, I know you know it. Say it with me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works, your good conduct, your honesty, your purity, your patience, all the rest, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Philippians 2:13 states, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. My question tonight is, what is God doing in your life? What is he doing that's worth talking about? Could you stand tonight and tell us a little bit about what God is doing in your life? It's a thrilling thing when God begins to chastise us, spank us once in a while, put us through some experience that really mark our life so that we'll be drawn closer to him. So, God manifests his sovereign power and grace through our life. Now, how does he do it? The ring finger, Bert Wright, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that we're afraid today almost to talk about the Holy Spirit. In fact, the devil has us going to extremes on the Holy Spirit. We either all we talk about or we don't talk at all about the Holy Spirit. And yet, we're saved, we're regenerated by the Holy Spirit. He seals us, he keeps us until Jesus comes. He prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He teaches me day by day. He guides me. The Holy Spirit is the one who day by day fills my life with purpose. Friends, you might as well try to drive your car without gas, and you wouldn't do that, would you? Huh? As to try to live the life and witness without the Holy Spirit. And yet, you can learn verses, clever techniques, read all the books on personal work, and still be ineffective until you're filled with the Holy Spirit day by day. I'd like to give you a couple of evidences, and I want you to write them right in the palm like this. Evidence. Number one, power. Acts 1:8, power. He shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my what? Witnesses. Ye shall receive power. That word power is translated boldness or freedom of speech. Boldness or freedom of speech. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We need this power or this boldness day by day to be God's witness. Would you be able to say, well, I'm unembarrassed about Jesus Christ. I can check that one off. I'm not afraid of sharing him day by day. Well, then let's put another evidence down. And that's the evidence of love. Galatians 5:22. And this is where I need prayer the most. Love. Galatians 5:22 states this, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And every day that you're not filled with the Spirit and I am not filled with the Spirit, we are being cheated by lack of what he will do for our life, and others are being cheated because they don't see the long-suffering and the love in our lives that they ought to see in us. I was a leader of the Navigators for years, went to Texas to set up the work down there. I knew hundreds of scripture verses. I went down, read it, I organized the follow-up in Texas area and be available for Billy Graham crusades. Had a child 18 years of age and another one just a few months old. One day my wife came to me. I was going to Texas Christian University. And she said, "I've stood enough of you. I'm going home to mother." Now here I was a Christian leader, knew scripture verses. But I'll tell you something, there was something really missing in my life. While I'm glad she didn't go, I think the main reason, she didn't have any money. We were sort of faith missionaries with the Navigators, and I didn't have any money. And I was bluffing anyway when I said, "Good, go on." But that's the way we felt. Many times we were just at each other, all the time. One day we were reading, this was years ago, I'm grateful for that, Bible together, and I'd like to encourage husband and wife to read the Bible together, and with your children when the children come. Through the years, we've had some tremendous times. I've taken the book, and by the half hour, I'd get my children on the floor and just sort of dramatize various portions of the Bible. When we went through the book of Acts, they all had to be the lame man that Peter healed and all jump up, and they all had to be Ananias and Sapphira and fall over and be carried out. And we've had some tremendous time dramatizing the Bible. But we were reading together, my wife and I, in Ephesians one day. Let me read you a passage that really moved us. "I beseech you, therefore," Paul states in chapter 4, "that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." Now, we were reading in the Phillips translation or version, and this is what it says. "Putting up with one another because you love each other." The Living says this way, "making allowances for each other because you love each other." Boy, that really made sense to us. Here we were, two young tigers in the faith and growing together. All, both of us had our real personality, which God uses. But often the devil uses it too. And boy, I tell you, we were at each other. It would just drive me crazy when she was cooking something. She'd take the pot off the fire, the burner, when it was through cooking. Instead of turning the burner off, she'd take the pot off and empty it and sometimes put the pot right back on and burn the bottom on. Oh, that just infuriated me. And it spoiled my devotions and it spoiled a lot of other things. This old pride and stubbornness. I wanted her to do it right. Now, I had all kinds of faults myself. You know, I do a little cooking now. Every once in a while, I leave the burner on. My wife just, we laugh together about it. You ever have that problem? You don't, do you? You too. You don't have these little synchronicities. It just drives you crazy. And if you're not careful, Satan will use it to spoil your day. And he's done it. You can start on a trip, and the first thing you know, wham, the kid gets a knock on the block. And for the next hour, you're silent because you know you've been unkind and can't talk to anybody. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Let me go on to another little illustration. I have a boy, 22 years of age. In high school, the long hair became popular. And I said to him, "When you're in my home, you'll cut your hair." And he did, but against his desire and will. He wanted long hair. He wanted to identify with some of the gang there so he could witness to it, really. But he cut his hair. All I could see was long hair was rebel, rebel, rebel. He said, "Well, Dad, you know different about me." And I said, "Yeah, but other people don't." I was more concerned about what people thought. I'm on the Billy Graham team. What would they think if I had a long hair boy? That's all I could think of, my pride. And I tell you something, my boy graduated high school and he left home. And he's been away now for 2.5 years and we're just now getting back together next month. I drove a wedge in between us because I was more concerned about what people thought than I was about my relationship to him. My old pride was working overtime. I wasn't walking in love. know how we need this message. And I'd like to challenge every one of you to use 1 Corinthians 13 for about a month every day as a mirror. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Every day for the next month, only four verses. Verses 4, 5, 6, and add 7 to it. And let God speak to you about your love life. And see what God will say. Real evidence then about being filled with the Spirit is power and love. And I want to give you a little acrostic before we go on to the other two fingers. And we're only going to take 2 or 3 minutes with those fingers. But let me give it to you. C-A-P. Seek for confess. 1 John 1, 9. Day by day, when sin comes into our life, no matter how small it is, we need to confess it as soon as it happens. Sin grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit. And if we want His power in our life, then we need to surrender to His power day by day. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A is for ask. Ask. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Is it God's will that we daily be filled and walk in the Spirit? Surely it is. And Lord, I confess my tongue. I confess I lied. I confess my lust. Now, Lord, I want to be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And then, finally, practice. Practice. Galatians 5:16. Practice walking in the Spirit day by day. Confessing your sin, asking again for His filling, and then practice daily walking in the Spirit. Make an L like this, if you will, with an arrow pointing heavenward and an arrow the other way. Acts 24:16, and this is the secret right here. Acts 24:16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience, void of offense toward God, toward man. How's your conscience tonight, housewife, father, child? Is it void of offense toward God through confession? Is it void of offense toward your fellow man? I've had to go back to my wife more than once and say, I'm sorry for speaking the way I've spoken. I had to go back to my children and put my arms around them and say, I'm sorry, I was really out of place. I've had to go back to team members and confess that I was deceitful. I've had to go back to teachers and confess that I cheated in examinations. A conscience void of offense toward God. Fourth man. Living in the light of the Word, daily in obedience. How's your heart tonight? Is it light? Is it right? Any sin grieves the Spirit, and when the Spirit is grieved, you can't possibly have His blessing in your life. Do you agree with that? Let me give you a good illustration, and we'll fill the other two fingers. Well, my boy Danny was just about 8 or 9 months of age. We wanted him on his feet. And so I would get on my knees and my wife would get on hers and we'd put Danny on his feet and he'd take a step and fall into her arms. And she'd turn him around, he'd take a step and fall into my arms. We'd back up and he'd take 2 steps. And every once in a while he'd fall down and bang his head good. And boy, that's enough of that. He'd crawl around. Then we'd see him getting a hold of furniture again and getting up, so we'd try it all over again. Well, let me give you the verse on that. The steps of a good man, a good young lady, a good young man, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. And just as our boy fell as he was learning to walk, and he'd put his hand up and we'd put him back up again, and he'd take a few steps and down he would go, and he'd put his hand out and we'd put him back up again, and gradually he learned to walk. And this is the way you walk in the Spirit, day by day, as you seek His presence and His power, and as you confess your sin as He convicts you, and you can put your hand back in His hand every time you stumble. But that takes discipline. Confession of sin, every little sin, as it occurs. That verse is Psalm 37, 23, and 24. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his what? Hand. Give your hand in his hand tonight, friends. Quickly, the middle finger, put Scripture. Scripture. Ephesians 6:17 and Hebrews 4:12. Ephesians 6:17 and Hebrews 4:12. God manifests His sovereign power and grace through your life. How does He do it? By the Holy Spirit. How does the Spirit work? Through the Word. The Spirit doesn't speak out of the air, out of a ceiling. He speaks through the Word. Ephesians 6:17 says, "In taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The Spirit works in your life through the Word. The Spirit works through your life through the Word. That's why we need to know the Word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The Word of God is quick and powerful. Know it and use it day by day. So do your lesson, do your memory work, and get a hold of a good book. Then finally, by faith, Hebrews 11:6. By faith. Grasp God's hand tonight. Put it out by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of all them that half-heartedly seek Him. Is that what it says? All them that diligently. What is it? Diligently. I don't know. I think some of you are asleep on that one. He is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek Him. I pray tonight as we close the lesson that you'll be one who will diligently, by faith, seek Christ day by day. The Word of God in one hand, clasping God by the other, start your day tomorrow in this fashion, and I'll guarantee it'll make a new person out of you.